Hey, are y'all ready to go home? You got enough? I got to give them a little time to count the offering. They're just now starting to count the offering, so got to give them a little time. I hope that what we just went through, that you were able to open your heart to it and experience what it is that I'm trying to get across with talking about the anointing. I'm limited. I'm a man with flaws and not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and so there's a limitation here. You know, sometimes you can stunt without wanting to stunt, and so anytime I can get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit move, I'm gonna and let the Holy Ghost just go. Holy Ghost, you just go. By the way, for those of you that hadn't picked up on it, I use ghost and spirit interchangeably because to me they're the same word, and you know. So don't get caught up on that. For those of you that got prayed for, yes, I did have a mint. I just didn't put it in my mouth yet, so sorry. Like I'm saying, there's limitations. Let's go to Acts 10:38 if we can, Michael. Acts 10:38. This is going to be a little capsulized little for you. Now, this happens at Cornelius' house. If you remember, Peter went there because Cornelius had been, he was a centurion, and he'd been praying to God and giving offerings to God. And God told Peter to go there because the man's offerings were coming up, and he wasn't in covenant with God yet, so he needed to send a person there to make sure that they were in covenant with him. So he sent Peter, and Peter prayed for him and his family. And this comes up after he's prayed for them. He like every other preacher, we're going to pray for people, and then we're going to start preaching. And so, anyway, there's some preaching that's going on in here. Anyhow, if you look at verse 38, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And as I said earlier, if the master needed to be anointed to go do what he was supposed to do, how much more should we be anointed to do what we're supposed to go do? You know, and the anointing is not like a superpower. You know, you're not He-Man. It's not the sword. You know, it's not like you're Superman now or Supergirl, or you may be close to Batman, closer to Batman than anything. You know, just like a regular person, but like with some really nifty gadgets. You know, kind of thing. And so that's really the best way to look at it, is that that we all have a calling and something that we're supposed to do for God, but we have to have the anointing to get the thing done, to get it accomplished in life. And so he anointed Jesus with what? With the Holy Spirit and with power. So whenever the anointing of God shows up, whenever the anointing is there, it's anointing with power and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually the bringer of what's taking place. He's showing up. He's showing up as the anointing. He's coming in as the anointing. He's coming in to represent all that Jesus is, and all that Jesus, the yesterday, today, and forever, is there and in your presence. If you remember in John chapter 16, it's maybe 14 or 16, it's in my notes, and I'm not going to look it up. But if you take a look at it, that Jesus said that, and those that have been on Wednesday nights know this one, that Jesus said that I'm going to go, and it's to your advantage that I go, because God's going to send another. He's going to send another comforter, is the word that he uses, which is the word behind it is a paraclete. And so he said that I will send another comforter, a helper, a strengthener, a standby, that he'll be with you to help you get done everything you're supposed to do. And whenever Jesus used the word another, he didn't mean like another of a different kind. He meant another of the same kind, which means that when the Holy Spirit is present, it's just like if Jesus were there in the flesh with you. So if people say all the time, "I got to have more Jesus, I got to have more Jesus," well, you should be filled with the Spirit of God and anointed by the Holy Ghost, and you can have all the Jesus you want. But we don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost in church all the time, because we want to just kind of keep him out and act like he ain't there. Don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost. We just want to talk about God. So just talk about God. No. God is manifesting himself in the church age today as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He is there to bring you more Jesus. If you want more Jesus, you better be filled with the Spirit. Okay. Blank stares. That's been on Wednesday nights, and so if you want to show up for Wednesday nights, you can. Anyhow, let's go to, hey guys, y'all just kind of hang with me, okay? I'm going to zip through it pretty good. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, I'm going to hit that in a little bit. And then I'm going to close us out. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First. That would be the one before 2 John. 1 John chapter 2. I want to go 27. Oh, that one. That's what you mean. Which one? Yeah, verse 27. I'm sorry. Like, you never want to run media whenever I'm preaching, because, like, I'll give you, like, 42 or 47, to use Jody's number, 47 scriptures, but I might use three, you know, so. Sir? Yeah, that aren't in the 40, no, that are not part of the 47 that I gave you, so. Yeah. So if you really want to have a challenge working in church, work in the media whenever Greg's preaching. And. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. So first of all, it says, but the same anointing teaches you. You don't have to need anybody to teach you. It's not talking about that you don't need a pastor or a teacher, because Jesus said He left us the fivefold ministry gifts, and those ministry gifts should be prevalent and evident in your life, one of which is a pastor. If you don't have a pastor in your life, you better be finding one real quick, because you need to have somebody to help guide you through your walk with God. He's not trying to say that man should not teach you. What He's trying to say is that whenever you go to the Word yourself, that the Holy Spirit is there to teach you everything. You don't have to call Greg up and ask him questions every 5 minutes while you're reading your Word and trying to figure stuff out. No, the Holy Spirit is there to teach you and to guide you and to lead you. So you don't need anyone to, but let me back up. But the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you. The anointing to break the yoke of bondage in anyone's life, not only in your life, but the lives of others, is in you. The anointing is in you. You receive, whenever you're born again, you receive the Spirit of God. Spirit of God comes and lives and resides on the inside of you. And He's there forever. He's not coming for 2 or 3 weeks. He doesn't bring an overnight bag. No, He brings everything that He has and is to supply you for life. So the reason why Peter said that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we know that? Because now the Spirit of God lives and resides on the inside. He abides in us. He abides, which means He makes His abode, which means that's like His house. I mean, He's done set up pictures of Him and, you know, Him and some people that He's blessed. You know, it's got a picture of Him and Peter on the wall, and He brought His piano. He's got His piano in there, and he brought His guitars, and He brought all His clothes and everything with Him. I mean, He is going to stay there. That's His intent. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes and moves on the inside of, when the anointing moves, the anointing is there forever. You don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to go. It is there. He's right on the inside of you. Now, the word anointing, I'm just going to say this, and then we're going to go. The word anointing is like really cool to me, because the Greek word is chrisma, which is C-H-R-I-S-M-A, which looks a lot like the word charismatic. I thought everybody's going to go crazy about charismatic. Yeah. Didn't nobody jump the first chair? I was expecting y'all to jump the chair, swing from the chandeliers, and pick up snakes and drink stuff and just go nuts. I was waiting for that. Where are you at? So the Holy Ghost is not just here just to make you feel good. The Holy Ghost is here to change everything about you. Everything about you, He wants to change and enhance and make you everything that He intended you to be. He's not here to make you get the Holy Ghost goosebumps. He's not here to make you fall on the ground. He's not here for any of that other than to show up and make you more charismatic. I remember a story my grandmother told me. My grandmother was a very sweet lady. She was raised Pentecostal, apostolic a little bit. Her dad built some churches and stuff. He was a pretty cool guy. And anyway, my grandmother, she was telling me a story about some friends of hers that she saw at the mall. And the friends that she saw at the mall, like, you could actually tell that they were believers because of the way that they were dressed. You could actually see that they were believers. You could see it on them. That right there is a church person. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we don't look churchy. Like if you saw me at like Outback, you probably wouldn't know I was churchy, right? But you know, they had the, you know, there's some people that they dress a particular way and they look as if they're like showing you and the whole entire world that I am who I am. I am saved, I'm born again, Jesus is my Lord. Okay? And so she saw them, they were friends of hers. And she stopped off and talked to them and you know, all that kind of thing and left. And she told me that after that, her heart was just so grieved. Because the people that she ran into had just such a sour look on them. Any of y'all know my grandmother, Miss Spillers? Did y'all know Miss Spillers? Yeah? Yeah? Anyway, she was always smiling. She was a smiling lady. She just smiled. Even when she felt like, you know, she smiled. Because she felt like that her life was made to show Jesus everywhere that she went. And so what she would do is she would smile and she'd be happy. Everywhere that she went, she would try her best to be, even if it hurt. She was hurting. I remember, oh my gosh, she broke her hip at Living Word. Y'all remember that? Were y'all there that night? She broke her hip at Living Word. The poor baby fell down. And you know, sometimes when you're old, you fall down and stuff breaks, right? And she was at the age that it breaks and it don't fix, okay? So, you know, some of us, we're still at the age, well, I'm getting away from it, but we're still at the age where you break something and some get broken and it'll get fixed over time. Well, she'd be on that age. She's on up in her ups, you know, and she was up in the ups, you know. And she fell, broke her hip in tremendous pain. I mean, tremendous pain. And she's just sitting there smiling. I'm okay, honey. Remember, Jody? She just, I'm okay. Pastor came over and prayed for her. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. No, the woman had a broke hip. I'm okay. I'm good, baby. I'm good. I'm good. Why? Because she saw that opportunity to be in front of people as an opportunity for Jesus to touch them. And so she took the charisma or the anointing that God had given her and put it on her face. And let God flow through her into people. You could just sense the presence of God when you got around her. Why? Because she had the joy of the Lord on her. Strong lady. The joy of the Lord on her everywhere she went. People would always say, oh, I just love your grandmother. Oh, I love Miss Spillers. Oh, she's such a beautiful lady. And she would tell you, baby, it ain't me. She would just tell you, it ain't me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Charismatic. Has nothing to do with denomination. Has absolutely nothing to do with denomination. But everything to do with the anointing and the power of God. A simple smile will get you so far in the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that he who sits in the heavens laughs. So I would think, I can't prove this, okay, in the Word. I can't prove this 100% in the Word. I'm so sorry. But I would think, that since everybody, it says that he who sits in the heavens laughs. I would think that if they're laughing, they're probably smiling. Probably. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in the Word that everybody that's in heaven is smiling right now. It doesn't say that, but it does say that they're laughing. So I would just assume that there's a smile going on. And you know, you could throw a smile at somebody and you can get immediate return on sowing the seed. Did you know that? Like if I smile at you, what's up? What's up, Miss Jessica? See, there it is. I got it back. That's charisma. Okay? That's the anointing of God. And that small little smile that you pass to somebody could have the opportunity to change them forever just simply to smile. It opens doors that can never be, you know, Jesus said, I open all the doors that no man can close and I close doors that no man can open. How does he do it? With the anointing. With the anointing. We have a job to do, CCAM. We have people to touch. We don't necessarily do church on Sundays and Wednesdays. We come up in here, but where we do our business is on our ministries on the outside of the church. On the outside of the church, we have ministry. Tomorrow is whenever business starts. Ministry starts tomorrow morning for all of us. Where we wake up in the morning and we figure out, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? Well, the first thing you need to do is brush your teeth. Okay, I brush my teeth. You know, and he takes you through your day and uses you as his vessel to get his anointing into the world. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. That's why they call us charismatics. is because we have a responsibility to carry that anointing to the world and drop it off everywhere we go. God so wants to work through you. It would blow your mind if He showed you everything He wanted to do. It would make you sick to your stomach to know all the stuff that He wants you to do tomorrow. It would just blow your mind. But He wants to work through you. You know the old saying, you know, with the hands and feet of Jesus? Like, that's for real. That's not just a same thing that you do in children's church. That's a for real statement. That when you touch someone, guess who else is touching them? Jesus. When you're speaking to someone, guess who else? Jesus. When you're hugging them, who's hugging them? Jesus. When you walk into a place, who walked in the place? Jesus. It's kind of like this building. Have any of you ever been in this building whenever it's closed? I mean, the only God that's in here is the God that you bring with you. I mean, this place is not where the Spirit of God resides. He doesn't just chill out up in here and you come up here on Wednesday, you know, at 2 o'clock and go see how Jesus is doing. You just can't do that. Hey, man, what's up? You know, it's not like He's got an office in here somewhere. Ginger's office? Well, we gave him Stephen's office. Yeah, Jesus is in Ginger's office. I hope this is making sense. It's very simple, but the simple things in Christianity are what make us powerhouses. Powerhouses. I'll give you another one and then I'm going to be quiet, okay? Uno más, por favor. All right, so Stephen. Have y'all ever heard of Stephen? Not Dickerson, but the one in the Bible in Acts. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, Stephen was just a regular, plain, ordinary dude. He was asked by the leaders of the church to serve widows and orphans. He wasn't asked to preach. He wasn't given a microphone. He wasn't asked to sing. He wasn't asked to do anything but to serve a group of people in the church. If you take a look and read, I think it's Acts chapter 6, I think is where it's 6, 7, 8, somewhere up in there. 5, 6, 7, 8. Stephen worked miracles while he was serving widows. Meals on wheels. He's doing meals on wheels, and he is a worker of miracles. Why? Because of the anointing. He understood that God lives on the inside of him. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. He understood that, and he took that everywhere he went and worked miracles. I know that Paul Gray right now, Paul Gray is in Mexico. He's laying hands on sick people. I have seen fingers grow back. I've seen crooked legs go straight. I've seen necks that would not move start moving. I've seen ears that wouldn't hear start hearing. I have seen eyes that couldn't see that started to see. I've seen those things whenever we go and we go to Mexico and I see those things happen. Those things are expected to happen here. We shouldn't have to go to Cash, to Moses' church, for that thing to start taking place. Why is it not happening here? We're not taking the anointing. It's up to us. It is up to us 100% to take the anointing everywhere we go. And if you decide in your little in your brain, if you decide, you know what? I'm going to serve people and use the anointing to get it done. Whatever the case may be, I'm going to use my smile and I'll be sweet. At least I'm going to be sweet. Even if you do read King James Version only, I'm still going to be sweet. Understand, they speak King James in heaven, we know. I'm going to be sweet, and I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to bring that charismatic anointing that God has put on the inside of me, and He's going to touch those people, and He'll change their lives. You have that kind of attitude on Monday morning, you will see miracles, signs, and wonders. He just needs you to take what's been given to you to the world. Let's stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. We thank you, Father, that all that were prayed for are healed. And those that didn't get hands laid on them, they're still healed, Lord, because you were in the room and you could bust out or you get outside of our little traditions and our little ways and you can make things happen just because, Lord, because you're good. We thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you that we will carry your anointing everywhere we go. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody agree with that? Say what? Amen. Y'all go home.